Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
And a good Friday morning, Western Oklahoma. It is the Skinny on Sports on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the sports animal. Jared Atha hanging out with you in studio one more time because our man Aaron Calc is on the road for a very good reason. We'll talk about that coming up, but first tell you about all the great ways you can find the Skinny on Sports. It's real simple, KADSAM.com. Also on the Paragon app. Download the Paragon app. You get us. You get KECO, you get Cool 94, you get the Penny News, you get Paragon TV, the whole shebang in one convenient location on your phone or tablet. Also, don't forget to follow us on iTunes, where we take a recorded version of this show, and you can play it back at any time you want right there on the podcast. So follow us on the podcast on iTunes. And again, if you go to KADSAM.com, you can see all the archive shows right there on the front page. So now that's all out of the way. Oh, one more thing. You want to be a part of the show? Text us 580-225-9698. Text us your thoughts. Text us your questions. Text us, your positive thoughts towards maybe the Big Elk baseball team. Maybe not because they're playing a game, but maybe because if they're going to play a game. Because I didn't know this until Aaron told me that looks like it might be a little rainy or stormy near the Shawnee area. I've pulled up the radar. It doesn't look as bad, but it could be. Hopefully we get a game in at 11 o'clock. Skinny's on the road, and I can't say you're on the road without playing a little song.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Everybody loves Lil Willie.
Wi-Fi love is making music.
Aaron, are you there?
I can't wait to get on the
road. I'm sorry, I was holding my breath. You told me to hold my breath about the rain, so I was
Could you hear the music? I was playing On the Road
Absolutely.
Again by the legendary Willie Nelson. Because you are on the road again. You're a world traveler this last couple of weeks. You are on your way to Shawnee because the Big Elks got a big win yesterday in the 4A state baseball tournament, beating Verdigris 7-3. Now that pits them against Tuttle, who took down Fort Gibson 6-4, and a rematch, if you will, of a game that happened not too long ago. We hope it happens at 11 o'clock. What are you seeing out there? It looks like, I mean, it's beautiful here, but I think that same system that dropped about, well, at least at my house, about 0.7 inch of rain at my house, it now it's blown that way. So what are you seeing?
There are clouds. It feels like Hunter and I just drove from day to night over the last 4 or 5 miles. But as of yet, no rain, and as of yet, no lightning either. So that's the positive to it. And as you said, the Big Elks yesterday, you guys were here at Shawnee. First win in the state tournament for Elk City Baseball since 2001. 7-3 win over Verdigris. Man, it was that game had everything. It had some middle and physical errors in the field by both sides. It had what was a dominant pitching performance through five innings from Cash Mayfield. He ended up losing it just a little bit there in the sixth, walked a couple of guys, and it got a little bit more hairy than what I was anticipating when it was 7-1 in the top of the sixth inning. But all in all, a great day for the Big Elks. And as you said, now kind of the rubber game against Tuttle. These two teams have played twice this season, once over in the I-40 Baseball Classic at Weatherford. That day, Tuttle won 12-2. Don't be deceived by that score, though. It was 4-2 in the bottom of the sixth. The Elks had the bases loaded, nobody out, were unable to push any runs across, and then Tuttle put 8 on the board in the top of the seventh to widen that gap and make it look a little bit more of a beating than what it really was. Then, of course, the 6-5 win for Elk City back a couple of weeks ago. You never know at that point in the year with the playoffs coming, who threw who and all that kind of thing, but it does at least give Elk City the confidence of knowing, hey, we beat this team once, and hopefully they can do it again this afternoon. Elk City looking for their first state finals appearance in baseball since 1957. The only time the Elks have ever played in the state finals was back in 1957, and that was a loss to being 7-1. So this team, you know, it all started with the football season, creating the good feelings and the good vibes of having a good year there, and it's carried over throughout the entire athletic program. You've had, you know, baseball, both golf teams in the state tournament, and then the tennis team we can talk about as well. Those guys are looking for the first title in school history. So maybe a historic weekend on tap for the Brown and White on the baseball field and also the tennis courts.
Let's go back to yesterday's game. Cash Mayfield's performance, very, very solid. 14 strikeouts without looking at the stat sheet. 14 strikeouts and facing a lot of batters. But there at the end, kind of lost it, lost the strike zone a little bit. I think fatigue might have hit in a little bit, but credit the young man for – I mean, someone was asking me, man, it felt a little dicey there. You know, they got the lead. I was like, listen, if they get a lead and Cash is on the mound, I like their chances, and that certainly was true. So talk about what you saw from at least your end of Cash Mayfield. This kid is special.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, yeah, you're up 7-1 in the fifth inning with him on the mound. You know, I'm already looking at Tuttle's lineup. You know, how did those games go? And, you know, as fans, you know, it was probably a little more hairy in your mind than what it really was. Although, like you guys said, to start that seventh inning, the last guy you wanted to see come up to the plate for Verdigris was Jax Ryan, the OU commit, junior shortstop. He actually was the guy at the plate when the game ended.
Yeah.
Got to credit Aiden Hopper for coming into that situation with the bases loaded and being able to wiggle off the hook before Verdigris did too much damage. And then there in the seventh inning, getting that big strikeout to end the game. So all in all, a really nice day for Elk City. But if you want to kind of go on the other side, maybe something that needs to happen today that didn't yesterday, I think Elk City is going to have to swing it better than what they did. I mean, I get it. They scored 7 runs. But when you really think about how that happened, did they square up 2 baseballs? One of them was foul. And a Cash hit one down the first baseline foul that was solid contact. Culver hit a clean ringing single. But other than that, you know, even Caden Holder and Keys, the doubles that they had to score runs weren't necessarily gappers. You know, one was a bloop down the right field line. One was kind of a perfect placement in left center field. So I think the Elks today, at least as far as the plate, they're going to have to swing it better than what they did yesterday in order to defeat a Tuttle team that's been at or near the top of any rankings in Class 4A all season long.
So now we can focus on today's game. You just kind of did a little bit. They got to you say they got to swing the bat better, and I'd agree. They had some gifts there, and they took advantage of it. So credit them there. They took advantage of it to push some runs across, taking advantage of some Verdigris errors. But Tuttle, though, what now? We were talking about me and Hunter on the way home. Who we think that Elk City could put on the mound, and we kind of suspect that could be Church. That's unofficial. Cooper Church, we're not sure. But
I am. That's who's throwing.
That's who's throwing, okay. But what about on the other end, Tuttle? Someone was asking me today, who do you think they throw? And I said, I don't know one person on that team other than McAdoo. Who do you think, or what do you think the matchup will look like?
Moore or Brooks is what I was kind of told. Brooks throws harder. Moore maybe the better pitcher. They used their ace yesterday in that game against Fort Gibson, so it's not going to be a situation where, you know, it's Elk City 2 versus Tuttle's 1.
Sure.
They both threw their horse yesterday to get to this game, and now we'll see the depth. Church, Cooper pitched in the first game that these two played back over at Weatherford in that tournament. He went 5 innings, threw well, didn't give up. I think 3 earned runs is what he gave up to Tuttle that day. So, you know, they've seen him before. On the other side, depending on who the Tigers put out there, it remains to be seen if the Elks have seen that arm at the plate in either of the two matchups. So, you know, there's familiarity all over the place, obviously playing twice. You know, then you got Ashton Benai, who grew up in Elk City, is now at Tuttle, a sophomore. He's a very, very, very good player. Family ties still there in Elk City with his grandparents, Robbie and Kenneth Allen. So that's, you know, he grew up right down the street from Drake. I mean, those guys were best of buddies. So that's kind of an interesting dynamic, you know, a relationship off the field that'll be on it, as I just jinxed us, Jared. I said there's not lightning, and I just saw the first strike of lightning as we get off the interstate pulling in Shawnee. So we'll keep you updated.
What are you doing
with any of that, obviously?
Yeah. I'm constantly looking at Twitter just to make sure.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I'm refreshing my phone as well. But now this is, you know, once you get to this point, you know you're going to see a good arm on the other side. You know the guys that you're playing are going to be a solid team, obviously, and be able to swing the bat. So it's a lot of times, though, you guys made reference to this yesterday. It's throwing strikes. It's making the routine plays. And it's getting a hit or two when you really need it. And that's, like you said, give the outs credit. When they had an opening yesterday on either walks or a mistake made in the field by Verdigris, they took advantage of it to be able to push seven runs across.
On the other side, the other games, we mentioned Tuttle beating Vorkipson, obviously 6-4. That game, we got there, and they were down 3-1, managed to take a lead, make it 4-3. Vorkipson would tie it 4-4, and Tuttle would capitalize on a drop pop fly, which was weird. We saw more than one of those yesterday in multiple games, and they pushed two runs across that ultimately were the winners. And again, winning 6-4. On the other side of the bracket, Blanchard is dominant, and they were dominant over Pryor, 16-1. And a team I think we need to keep an eye on is Marlow. They're kind of having one of those years, right? It's the year of the outlaw for Marlow. They're good in football and basketball, and here they are in baseball. I think wrestling, they're always good too. They beat Lincoln Christian 14-7. So that Blanchard Marlow matchup could be up in the teens for both teams later on this afternoon. But our game's supposed to start, Elk City Tuttle's supposed to start at 11 o'clock. We'll have that on BigOakTV.com, a little pregame. And you know what, Aaron, you might have to get on there and give us a weather report because a lot of people are going to want to know what's going on there. And then the Blanchard-Marlow game, the other semifinal, is supposed to happen immediately after that at around 1:30. And you know how that works. Sometimes things are on time, sometimes they're not, like yesterday was. But looking at the radar right now, the storms are still well east of Shawnee. And I'll try to zoom into Shawnee High School the best I can. But, yes, it is east of Shawnee, but it is like what they call back building. So it's like the storms are building kind of right there east of Shawnee. And if it builds any further west, those storms could be right on Shawnee. So we hope that just stays east, pushes away, and we don't have any kind of delay, both rain or lightning. So again, Aaron, we'll stay on top of that for you. Go ahead.
You mentioned that Marlow. You mentioned Marlow, and I was trying to remember the stat from basketball. So they were attempting to become one of maybe the third team in the history of Oklahoma high school athletics to win football, boys basketball, and wrestling in the same year. I think they lost in the finals in the boys basketball that kept them from doing that. But you're right. This is a group at Marlow, and it is one of those special years. You know, they're in the state tournament and everything, and here they are in the semifinals. You know what? One thing that's cool about this, Jared, no matter what happens, the trophy's coming west of I-35.
That is true. That is absolutely true.
So it's going to be a west side team. Yeah, and you look at the conference, you know, in basketball, three of the four teams left in the semifinals in baseball were all in the same basketball conference, that Western Conference, with Oak City Blanchard and also Tuttle. And Marlow was in a smaller class in basketball. So there's, you know, these groups have all had really good years in a lot of multiple sports. I think Blanchard was in the boys basketball state tournament, if I remember right. You know, Tuttle played in the finals in football. So there's a lot of crossover with success in the semifinals of the baseball tournament when you look at what has happened throughout the school year and throughout the athletic calendar for all four of the teams that are left standing here in the baseball tournament.
Do you think the OSSAA has like a triple crown trophy or you know what I mean? If a school is able to win like three state titles in an academic year, that'd be kind of cool to hang up in your gym.
You know,
gym.
It seems like there might be something like that, to where they keep a point total throughout the year, and different sports are weighted different ways. Just, you know,
right.
Obviously football would be kind of team there, but then everything else, it does seem like they have a kind of a ranking of that, or they used to maybe, where they just kind of keep track of success throughout athletic programs all across the board. And I'm sure, you know, like I said, all four of these have had a lot of success, no matter what the game, or no matter what the sport, no matter what the season has been, all the way since back in August when football kicked off.
Yeah, that's that. Why wouldn't they? That sounds cool. If they would have that, it'd be pretty cool. What else starts today? Oh, that's right. We have soccer. We have state championship soccer games throughout the day. And I had this written down in what order that they played, but I'll just go from 6A down. 6A boys, that's tomorrow. If you know off the top of your head, just interrupt me.
Norman North and Mustang, I think it's 6A boys.
Well, I'm going to try to chronological order games today.
Okay.
In 5A boys, Santa Fe South and Southeast at 8 o'clock tonight in Taft Stadium. Let's see here. 3A boys, 5:30 this afternoon, Crooked Oak and Heritage Hall, also in Taft Stadium. I know there's two more because we got our guy helping out. Metro Christian Holland Hall and 4A girls, that's over at Rogers State in Claremore, and I wonder what that weather is going to be like. And also in 3A girls in Taft Stadium at 11 o'clock this morning, Victory Christian in Heritage Hall. Now, there will be games tomorrow as well, and one of those will be the Clinton boys taking on Chickasha boys at 4:30 at Taft Stadium. Speaking about one of those teams that already has, or one of those schools that already has a state championship in football, and there they are playing for a title in the other football, in soccer. And so some more possible hardware coming west of 35. Okay.
Yeah, and then tennis also.
Tennis, yes.
Run down the Elk City Tennis. It's a group just like this baseball team trying to win the first state title in school history as a team. They've got the defending champion, Carter Sanger, in number two singles. Both Sanger twins are the one seed in each bracket. So Evan's the number one seed in number one singles. Carter is the one seed in number two singles. Carter hasn't lost a match all season long. Evan hasn't lost to anybody in Class 4A. Then you look at the doubles teams. They both, one got seeded, one didn't. James Robinson and Sivan Sirbuth are the five seed. They'll play a team from Ulaga here in the first round. That's starting at 10:30, I think, around 10:30. Will be the first matches of the day at the state tennis tournament. Grant Graham and Matt Thompson, they weren't seeded. They're going to play the seventh seed from Riverfield in their first round matches. Then I mentioned Carter and Evan. Evan will play Austin Carter from Wagner in the first round. He's at the top of that bracket as the one seed. And then Carter Sanger will play Hunter Murray. He is from Bing. And so those guys get that going at 10:30 today, second round around 4 o'clock, and then tomorrow all day as those guys keep winning on the tennis court. So, this is, a lot of fun stuff, coming up this week. Oh, here we go. I'm getting 1-0 was the final. I saw 7-1 in that Bing game. So 1-0 the Elks lost in 1957. In the state baseball tournament. Yeah, I had seen 7-1 on our go-to site. I was at the game, but anyway, this is a lot of fun. You know, it's not very often.
I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to guess that person who texted you was at the game.
Maybe not at the game, but had relatives that were
okay.
Would be how that would work.
A more reliable source than the website. I was at the game.
I was at the game. Yeah. Yes, yeah. they had who won right. They just didn't have the score right.
Okay.
It's not very often that you have a chance to do something that's never happened in anything at a school, athletics being the case here. And so, you know, you think about, like, Jay Mack, for instance. He was the quarterback of the only state championship football team.
Yeah.
Now, can he be the head coach of the first, and at this point, the only state baseball championship team? That's kind of a cool meshing of history there together for him.
Yeah, it's special when you can be the first, and that's something that's, you know, they not only print on T-shirts, but they paint on water towers and they put on plaques, and that's something you could always tell your friends, your family, your kids, your grandkids. It never goes away. That is very special, and we wish everybody the best of luck to get it done. Looking at the weather, Aaron, I'm looking at my favorite website where you can do like a futures radar where it predicts where these storms will be, and man, it's saying it's going to push off. It's going to push off to the east. So
wonderful.
That's good news. That's from the Weather Channel. I got to quote my source here so people won't say, well, that Atha guy who said Canute all the time yesterday said the weather was going away. No, it's the Weather Channel says it's pushing away.
You know, I can just, you know how you get stuff in your mind, and then it just comes out. I told you last night, I guarantee you the very first thing I'm going to say is, oh, we're here for Canute versus Tuttle. I mean, Elk City, just because now it's in my mind.
Yes.
No, but honestly, it's just kind of cloudy. It doesn't look – once we got off the interstate and kind of came south a little bit into Shawnee, it doesn't look quite as dark here at the stadium as what it did as we were driving on I-40. So maybe – like you said, it's supposed to push off, and we'll have a beautiful day. The wind is light. God, what does that flag look like? Maybe blowing in from right center to left? So a completely different set of wind direction, at least, here today than what it was yesterday, with it blowing almost straight out to left field and center field.
Yeah, but yesterday was beautiful for baseball, despite the wind. I mean, you're in Oklahoma, you're going to get the wind. It wasn't 40-mile-per-hour sustained wind. I mean, it was a nice breeze, as I would describe it. I kind of wish I was outside and not in that press box. I hope for your sake that they fixed the AC. They had a guy in there working on it. And it right like towards the last inning, you could kind of tell the air was cooler coming out. So maybe by this time, it's going to be completely icy cold in there for you for your game. But I think you're going to be okay. I think we'll get a game in on time, which again is about – here in about another hour and a half, you'll have a pregame. I suspect 15 minutes till, 10 minutes till, depending on what you want to do. I don't want to mislead anybody. But BigElkTV.com, that's where you want to go. And you can watch another highly anticipated matchup until the next one as Elk City and Tuttle will go at it for a ride to play on Saturday for the state championship.
Very good team. They fought hard. And a shout-out to Cash, our pitcher, who threw an amazing game. Started the game, gave him one run, which was huge. And in any state game, and then was very fortunate to have that ball fair on the line and scored two right there with two strikes and two outs. So, great game.
That's Kai Keyes, Elk City's Kai Keyes. He had a big day yesterday against Verdigris at the 4A Boys State Tournament. Boys, of course they're boys. The Baseball State Tournament. I've been used to covering golf the last couple of weeks. He's talking about his three RBI performance in the Big Elks win over Verdigris 7-3. He had one of those key hits that just landed fair on the in right field. And I was looking at Hunter when that happened. I said, we talked about the win before we went to break. And I said, man, I think that win might have kept that fair, and that allowed a couple runs to come in. And Kai Keyes was huge. Big Elks were huge. Cash Mayfield, as he mentioned, was big. They got the win, and now they're playing today at 11 o'clock. Jared Atha with you in studio on the road. We have Aaron Kalk. Where is he? He is at Shawnee. We thought it might be a stormy Shawnee, but I think it's gotten better, at least from his vantage point, at least from mine in studio looking at the radar. So I think we will get a game today at 11 o'clock.
Hey, listen to this.
Yeah.
Back to that, to 1957. Think about how much times have changed from what I'm about to read you.
Okay.
So Bing's pitcher, his name was Jerry Walker in that finals in 1957. He pitches in the state championship game, defeats Elk City. 2 weeks later, he won his first major league start for Baltimore.
Wow.
How crazy is that? You win a state championship as a senior in high school. 2 weeks later, you're in the major leagues winning a start on the mound for Baltimore. That is that's an amazing difference between now and then.
Yeah,
that's with the way that all works. But anyhow, that was an interesting note to what that game was as well.
You know, another thing of yesterday, that game, it was fun to see Jax Ryan and Cash Mayfield go one-on-one. Of course, Jax Ryan, he was a junior Shortstop committed to OU, and of course Cash committed to OSU. So me and Hunter were kind of having fun with the whole Bedlam aspect of it. And that kid's a special player. Defensively, he made some good plays, but he also made a couple of bad throws, which kind of threw me a little bit. But you can tell he's going to be a real good player.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, but you're right. A bobble there on one play, and then the throw that I think it was Corey that got around the tag that led to that 5-run third inning. And another thing, it was on display last week in the last game against Bing in the regional. But the Elks seemed to be pretty comfortable with two outs. They scored five runs with nobody on, two outs against Bing, and then yesterday in that 5-run third, pushed three or four across with two outs. So that's some teams kind of have that, some don't. And it's just a matter of, even though they didn't square balls up, putting balls in play or being patient enough at the plate to not swing at pitches that are outside the strike zone. And if they're going to give you a walk, you got to be disciplined enough to take it. And I thought that was one thing that was definitely a positive at the plate for the Elks. And, we had talked about yesterday going into that game, not trying to do too much, just doing what got you there. And I thought, for the most part, at the plate, the Elks really did a good job of that. Notice early on that maybe, Bessie? Was that his name?
Bressie?
Bressie on the mound for Verdigers is having a little bit of trouble finding the strike zone. Don't help him out. Don't bail him out by swinging a pitch you shouldn't up ahead in the count. And that's one thing that I thought the Elks did a fantastic job of, was working the count, being ahead in the count, and not kind of taking one-legged swings at pitches that were kind of in the strike zone. Went ahead, and if it wasn't right where it needed to be on, say, a 2-0 count, even if it was a strike, you weren't giving yourself up with weak swings at pitches that you really probably shouldn't be swinging at that far ahead in the count.
Can't remember who it was, the at-bat, who was at bat, but for the Big Elks, they got down like 0-2 in the count, fouled off about three or four consecutive pitches, and basically worked into a walk. Those are smart at-bats to me. It doesn't matter. Everybody, chicks dig the long ball. I get it. They love the power, but when you get up there and you can manufacture yourself to get on first base, if you can work around a bad start to a at-bat and get on base, that's impressive to me, and it's a sign of maturity. And another thing, a sign of maturity, I said this last week watching Canute in the state tournament, and I saw it yesterday. Once we got back to the top of the lineup, once the first round of batters hit or saw the pitcher, all of a sudden you start seeing more aggressive hitting, because you can tell when they got back into the dugout, they're talking, look for this pitch, look for him to do this, look for him to do that, and they're really aggressive, the Big Elks were, and that was about the time that third inning started.
Yeah, you could see swinging at first pitches more when they were in the zone the second time and third time through the lineup, no doubt about it. And, that's just, you're right, it's communicating with each other. What did you see? What did you see? What did he throw here? And that's things that end up mattering throughout the course of the seven-inning game. These games, it's like in basketball, right? We always talk about it at the Big House. When you get in those situations in semifinals or finals, even quarterfinal games, how much, there's 32 minutes on the clock in those basketball games, but it really feels like those games are only about 20 minutes long because of those little short periods of time. And that's something, it's all fine and dandy to get down 5-0 in a regional final, you come back. But the Elks are going to have to be focused and disciplined and make the plays, because the last thing in either one of these next two games, if you're fortunate enough to play tomorrow, digging yourself those holes when you're facing the types of arms that you're going to be facing throughout, it shrinks that game. Your opportunities to score runs aren't as often as they are throughout the regular season. You may actually only, in a seven-inning game, you might only have two innings, maybe three, where you have a legit chance to push runs across because the other guy is just throwing better pitches than you can hit, right? So the game, even though it's going to be seven innings and it's going to be 21 outs, it's shrunk down a little bit more to where, in maybe nine of those outs are the times that you really have a chance to score the runs. I think that's exactly what happened to Verdigris. Kudos to them for, taking advantage of the misplay out in right field, or even when Cash struggled in the sixth inning, but they weren't able to take enough advantage of it, because from inning two through inning five, they had no chance to score a run. They were just getting up there, watching a few pitchers or maybe swinging and setting back down. And so that's the opportunities you're going to have to take advantage of them this morning in order to be able to be the Tuttle team that's, you know, been right there at the top of 4A all year.
Let's shift our focus to the NBA. I know you and me were here working late on some things and didn't catch the first game of Philadelphia and Miami, but the reaction of it and seeing some highlights, we'll start on the Miami side. Jimmy Butler was awesome as they win it, by the way, 99-90, and they take the series. Butler had 32 points, 20 points for, oh, goodness, Struss, I'm horrible, 12 points for P.J. Tucker. And Miami is, you know, they're back in the Eastern Conference Finals after missing it last year, and they look like, you know, you've liked them all year long. We'll focus on them first. And are they a real contender to maybe get back to the finals versus the winner of Milwaukee and Boston?
Absolutely. You know, they were in the finals the COVID year down in the bubble. They just, how about Philly? Okay, so Philly a few years ago made a choice, and that choice was Ben Simmons over Jimmy Butler. How'd that choice work out for Philly?
Harris over Butler, too.
Yeah, not great. Not great.
Not too good. Not too smart.
I don't remember if Boy Wonder Daryl Morey was there. I don't think it was his. I don't think he made that move. But you know, Miami, yes, they're absolutely a threat to be in the finals. They're a threat to win the whole thing. But the story to me walking out of that game is what is going to happen in Philadelphia. You know, Embiid struggled through. He did all he could do, playing injured, obviously. But how in the world does James Harden take two shots in a second half of an elimination game on their home floor? And then afterwards, his thoughts were, well, the ball, we ran the offense. The ball just didn't get back to me. What? You're James Harden. Even if you're 75% of what James Harden was, you cannot go out like that. You absolutely can't. Give me Russell Westbrook taking 40 shots in Utah a couple years ago over James Harden taking two in the final half of a game you had to win. It's inexcusable, and you have to wonder now, after that big trade in the regular season at the deadline, it looked like that was kind of a match made in heaven as far as the way that they play, with Harden working off Embiid and vice versa. Now you can kind of tell Embiid, it didn't take long for Harden's act to wear thin with him. I'm not sure how fired up he is to have Harden back with the way things went. And then Doc Rivers, what's his future going to be like in Philadelphia when he wasn't able to kind of get the right mix there with that team? I wonder, you know, Philly, when they made that trade, you know, the thought was, man, this could be a team that's competing to go to the finals for the next few years with the ages of those guys. Now when you actually see it in practice and you see Harden's inability to do the things that he wanted to do and just maybe even inability to care enough to try to do the things he wants to do, is that on him? Is that on Doc? Is it on both of them? Does that team blow up to a certain extent to get him out of here? And then what can they get back if they want to move him? Problem is, I think he's on his own option. So they may not be able to get anything back if Harden just wants to leave town and go somewhere else.
Yeah, we question Harden in his want to. We've done that before on the show. I start to think, and I've said it before, I think we're seeing the other end of Harden's career. I think it's on the back half, and it's on a downward trajectory pretty fast. And his future in Philly up in the air. You're right. What does Philly want to do with him? What does Philly do with Doc? I don't know. They just kind of in this in between stage right now. Do they continue on to build? Because they've done the rebuild, they've done the process, and it took them years and years. They have a MVP caliber player in Embiid, but the rest of the pieces are in limbo and a lot of questions about them. I don't know what happens to Philly. But Harden, I don't think he is that up there with the superstar caliber of player that somebody's going to want on their team anymore. It's kind of a sad reality. And unless he gets that want-to back, I mean, 4 of 9 shooting, missing 4 three-pointers, 11 points. His plus-minus was negative 16, minus 16. That's horrible in an elimination game.
Horrible. And only taking two shots. You have to take more than two shots and a half of an elimination game. But this has always been his thing, right? Even back to the finals year at Oklahoma City. Where did James Harden go in that finals? And when you look career-wise, I mean, he averaged basically 30 a game in his nine seasons at Houston during the regular season. Now, when you look at what he did in the playoffs for that team,
yep.
He still averaged 28, but his shooting percentages were way, way down. You know, he's averaged about 26 a game for his career, only 23 in the playoffs. And it's an obvious dip in not only the production points per game-wise, but also his shooting splits go so far down. And, you know, at first it was like, well, he uses the ball so much, he's worn out, you know, and that I think you could easily make that case in his years in Houston. But even in the regular season for Philly, you saw him more as a facilitator. You saw him more as kind of, you know, doing what he thought the team needed best. Last night they needed him to score the basketball and be James Harden. And I think you're right. He started to be on that downhill slide to where what we're expecting James Harden to be isn't what James Harden is anymore.
No, it's not. Shifting our focus, Dallas took down Phoenix 113-86, forcing a Game 7. I can't remember. Help me out. How many Game 7s did we predict?
Why, I had one. I had Milwaukee and Boston.
Ah.
I saw a stat last night that I didn't realize before, and this probably is a pretty small sample size. I'm trying to remember how many this could be. But Luka Doncic, in elimination games in the playoffs, he averages more than anybody in the history of the game. He averages 39 points in elimination games. So last night he only had 33, lowered his average in those situations. But, man, the home court has been everything in the series. All six games have been won by the home team. And you see those ancillary parts. Obviously, Luka was great. But the other guys around him, you know, Jalen Brunson struggled in Game 5. He was 6-14 for 18. Reggie Bullock, 7-15. So those guys, instead of down in the 30%, they're closer to 50% at home. And then you get Dinwiddie knocking down threes off the bench. Also, Maxi Kleber knocking down threes. Those guys were 8 of 12 off the bench from 3 last night at home. Now the scene shifts back to Phoenix for Game 7. Can Dallas get somebody around Luka to perform like that on the road and try to kind of rip this series out from under the feet of the Phoenix Suns?
That Game 7 is going to be really, really interesting. I always, when I go to Game 7s or I think about Game 7s, I almost throw out home court. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't. I think it's the most important
you
thing.
Do. I feel like when you're at – it doesn't matter to a point because you got the amount of pressure for both teams is almost equal. I don't know. I just – something about it at Game 7, I just throw it out. But, yeah, it's going to be very interesting for me in that regard. Now, tonight, a couple potential Game 7s could be produced after tonight. You think one will, Celtics and Bucks. That's happening tonight in Milwaukee, but you think the Celtics will come out on top. And then the late cap, it's Grizzlies at Warriors. Warriors trying to finish off Memphis. But, man, if Memphis can show up like they did the last time out, then who knows? But I question, and I haven't seen, and you might, and I'll start there, Morant's availability. Do we have a timeline? Could he go tonight? Is he probable at least? Have you heard anything?
I thought he was out.
Completely out?
Yeah, I hadn't seen any updates this morning. Hey, back to that Game 7.
Yeah.
Road teams only win 21%. 28 out of 134 in the history.
In so game on road games,
game,
road teams,
game,
I see.
Yes.
In
yeah,
game
road
sevens.
Teams in Game 7s are 28 out of 134, so 21%. For a road team to win. And, you know, that speaks to a lot of things. The better team has the home court advantage, at least through the regular season. It's just hard to win on the road. You know, it feels like, you know, the crowd and the momentum and the refereeing, it's hard to do. And then I just got this text that I don't think Morant's expected back at the playoffs at all. So I had seen that where he was out for the game the other night. So that's a hard ask for Memphis.
Yeah.
To be able to try to win three in a row, one of those on the Warriors home floor. But you never know. They obviously dominated Game 5. We'll see a lot of times that championship medal, though, shows up for Golden State when it needs to, and you would think tonight would be one of those nights.
Yeah. Well, darn. I got so high hope, or such high hopes for that guy, and you got to know what if he can't get back this year, that's just going to drive him next year. He would be my early preseason MVP vote.
That's probably a pretty good pick for next year with him bursting on the scene this year, being in the conversation, kind of on the outside looking in for most of the year. But you're right. I think there will be a lot of preseason momentum for Ja Morant to be in that MVP race from the start, and it's just it's hard for him to come from where he started to be able to be in serious contention with those guys that are up there every time. But after this year, I think you're right. He's going to start at a lot higher level in most people's minds than what he did this season. So I think you'll see that prediction around the league a bunch, that Ja Morant could be the MVP next year.
Yes. Okay, 9:46. Aaron is on the road. He is in Shawnee getting ready for the Big Elks. They are playing Tuttle today in the 4A state baseball tournament. You notice I kept saying, I did this yesterday too, Aaron. Not only was I saying Canute, but I kept saying the boys state tournament, because we've been covering golf the last couple weeks. I had to clarify, but they are in the baseball state tournament over in Shawnee. And again, 11 o'clock. Well, okay, give us our weather update. How are we looking? Any clearer?
Maybe a little lighter, but it doesn't look as rainy. How about that? I'm sure that that's what you hear from Tornado Payne and those guys on TV. It doesn't look as rainy right now as what it did when we were on the interstate. I'm not going to jinx it, but it looks good right now. You can see some blue sky back behind us as we're kind of parked facing east. There's blue sky behind us. I just saw that one bolt of lightning, and it was off in the distance a ways as we were getting off the interstate. So hopefully what your future weathercast is correct and everything's moving on to the east. And if it will, it's going to be a beautiful day at the park for this Class 4A semifinal at the baseball tournament.
I think we are going to get a nice, beautiful day at the park. I'm being very optimistic. And based on these radars that I'm seeing, I think it's going to stay east, and we haven't seen the lightning or anything like that. You saw it once, but have you seen it since?
Just the one, and I'm actually looking out and see the Big Elks in their gray over grays with the brown numbers outlined in white. They're out there playing a little catch, getting warmed up, so at least they're not being called off the field for any sort of reason right now. Still an hour and 10 minutes away from the first pitch.
Very good. All right. Well,
hey, I'm gonna let you go. We're gonna start getting set up. So I just want to remember, me and you were like Karnak yesterday. Even you know who Karnak is?
Yeah. Tonight Show. Yeah, Johnny Carson bit. Yeah.
Yes, we were like him yesterday when we talked about that NFL schedule. I mean, we hit the nail on the head.
Oh man!
Rams, Bills, first game Thursday, Cowboys, Bucks. The Saturday, Sunday night game.
Oh, you called that one. I didn't think they'd do that one, but you called that one. You're right.
Okay, so maybe I was Karnak and you were Ed McMahon.
Hey-o! Yeah.
Hey-o!
Hey-o!
All right, man. Hey, 11 o'clock, Big Elk TV, Elks, Tuttle, semifinals from Shawnee, 4A state baseball tournament. I already see my man Ed Hughes walking around, pacing around. He may not have a seat at any point today, as he's even though we're in the radio wagon, you can kind of feel a little bit of the excitement from in here. Hunter, he's over here, just a big old smile on his face the entire time. He's ready to go, and so am I, and so are the Big Elks.
Yeah. Hey, there was a time during the game yesterday I glanced over on the Elk City fan side, and you could tell who were the parents and who were fans. The parents were standing up, pacing back and forth. Brandon Culver's knees were just shaking left and right, just going as fast as they could. I mean, Shoot, dude, I do it during T-ball games, you know, with my kid. I get it. And it was fun to watch. And that's all, that's another fun thing about high school sports is the parents and the joy that they get to watch their kids play. And none's better than at a state tournament. So a lot of fun.
You know, my dog Rex, we have him a little backyard. And in the wintertime, he's an Australian shepherd. So he runs around in a circle. And he just wears the grass out, right? It's just totally dirt.
Yeah.
In the places all winter long where he runs around. I think I can see the path that Brandon wore through the grass over here, walking back and forth.
Oh, boy. And then I saw Michael Price, and I gave him a hard time about his kid. And
wasn't it nice to play a playoff game and not have to worry about whether or not Mason can play the next one?
I told him, I think I could bring this here. I said, hey, let's make sure your boy stays in the game today. And he says, those darn Price kids.
Yeah, it was nice not seeing number two and wondering, well, is he going to get to play next time or not?
Good stuff.
All right, man. Hey, okay. Have a good day. And we'll be here at 11 o'clock. Yeah, you're right. 15 till, 10 till, depending on how everything goes. We'll be on with the pregame. Get everybody ready for the Big Elks and Tuttle in the semifinals.
All right. Have a good call, and go Big Elks.
You bet. All right, see ya. Everybody have a great weekend.
Jared Athan in studio sitting in for Aaron. He is on the road. He is in Shawnee. He's getting ready for the Big Elk baseball team to take on the Tuttle Tigers, and he's going to have that game at the 4A State Baseball Tournament happening on BigElkTV.com. We'll have a pregame at around, we'll say 10:45 at the earliest, 10:50, something like that, depending on how fast he can get set up. Hopefully that's all smooth for him. And then first pitch at 11 o'clock, and it's going to be a on-time game. Unlike yesterday, they're about 30 minutes behind because the game before it was running a little late. But this is the first game of the day, so it will be on time. And there were some questions about weather. I had no clue about this weather until I got Aaron on the phone. He said, man, check the radar because it looks a little dark to the east. And right now it looks okay in the Shawnee area, but man, it's on the edge. It's right there on the east. But what Aaron had said right before we let him go was that it looks like it's getting better. So I think, knocking on wood, that we're going to get a game in today, and no delays, nothing like that over there in Shawnee. And man, how about the folks at Shawnee? I said this yesterday, and I'll reflect this over here again. They've had to deal with weather. Last week they hosted the Class A state baseball tournament and the state championship games for Class A and Class B, and they had to push that back all the way till Monday. The championship games were played on Monday because of the rain, and they had to get that field ready and make sure it was dry enough and the playing conditions were up to par. They were the standard, and it was. Usually it is over there in Shawnee. They've hosted a ton of state tournaments, and for good reason. They do a good job over there, and they did it again. And yesterday that field looked fantastic, and that's another reason. You know, you get a game that goes a little long, you have to have enough time in between games to prep the field, and that way they're playing on a pristine playing field each and every time. It's not beat up between games. They do a great job again over there. I can't say enough about the Shawnee administration, what they do, and it's definitely noticed. Obviously by the OSSAA, but as a fan, it is awesome. It's one of my great memories is going over there and playing in a couple of state tournaments in my high school days, and it was always at Shawnee, and that was the goal. It's like the Big House. We circled it on the calendar, get to Shawnee, and for good reason. They do a good job over there. So if there is any kind of weather or rain or anything like that, we know they'll quickly get that field ready to go. If that happens. But I think we'll be okay. And again, that game starting at 11 o'clock. Real quick, Aaron mentioned it. The NFL schedule is out. The opening weekend looks fantastic. It's going to start on September 8th with Buffalo at the LA Rams, a Thursday night game on NBC. The defending champs will hang the banner. They'll get the rings. And had a feeling Buffalo was coming that way. I mean, Von Miller, yeah, he's going to return to get his ring too, but the matchup is so enticing, looks a lot of fun. Some other notable matchups, Pittsburgh is at Cincinnati on the Sunday. This is all Sunday games, Pittsburgh at Cincinnati in a divisional matchup. Could be a lot of fun right there because Cincinnati, the real deal, Are they the kings of that division, or is Pittsburgh like, oh, wait a minute, we're still Pittsburgh, but they've had some turnover, and obviously they're going to have a new quarterback at the helm. Well, Cleveland at Carolina, who's going to be the quarterback for which team? Is Baker going to – you got so many storylines on that one. Potentially, maybe this is why they scheduled it like this, could Baker Mayfield be the quarterback at Carolina? Going up and starting his tenure at Carolina versus the Cleveland Browns. Man, that would blow up televisions if that were the case. Everybody would be watching that one. That'd be a lot of fun. Kansas City at Arizona. You talk about fireworks. There'd be a lot of points scored there now that Hollywood is in Arizona. Kyler Murray is staying there. And, of course, Patrick Mahomes and company with Kansas City. And then the night game, Tampa Bay at Dallas. Dallas, again, starting their season with the Tampa Bay Bucks, with a Tom Brady-led Tampa Bay Bucks. He's doing it for one more year. This time he'll start maybe his final year in Dallas against the Dallas Cowboys. And the Monday night game is Denver at Seattle. So some highlights there from the first week of the schedule. And they already released some the over-under wins for each team. And we'll look at the NFC East. Look like Dallas is the favorite again. They projected to win 10.5 games. Philadelphia projected to win 9 games. The Washington Commanders projected to win 7.5 games. And New York Giants predicted to win 7 games. The over-under is 7 games, which isn't – listen, all those win – I mean, that's actually an improvement for the NFC East compared to last year, obviously, outside of Dallas. But maybe the NFC East is just a little better. But Dallas, on paper anyways, according to this, once the schedule's been released – appears to still be the favorite. We'll see if that changes as we approach the offseason. Guys, I got to get on out of here. Got to go. I'm excited about this baseball game. Hopefully you are too. BigElkTV.com, 11 o'clock, first pitch, Big Elks versus the Tuttle Tigers. Let's go get them. Let's have fun. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe. Let's do it again on Monday. Take care, everybody. You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports. KADS, the Sports Animal. Take care.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered early.